We're back in final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2 on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I want to congratulate everyone on the Packers, Lions, and Bears going undefeated this weekend.
Yes, they did. Very well said. Very well done on your part. What did you make of Wild Card Weekend? Still two games to go tonight, so we'll see what that looks like. Yeah. But what did you make? So the Packers take down the Cowboys in destructive fashion, I might add. The Lions with their first playoff win in more than 30 years. Texans destroy the Browns, and then the Chiefs play a Dolphins team that, in my opinion, largely didn't look like they wanted to be there. What did you make of the four games we have seen to this point?
Well, first off, with that Dolphins Chiefs game, and this, I have no dog in that hunt at all. I will always feel this way. I understand that weather is a part of the game. It's irresponsible to play that game, in my opinion. It's not safe. I mean, those weather conditions. Look, they don't play games in the lightning or during tornadoes because it's not safe. And so, playing in negative degree temperatures, especially when you've got inebriated fans making bad decisions, it's not safe, and I will continue to say those games need to be postponed. And so I would have picked Miami to win that game because I think they had a lot more talent. But when I knew they were playing in those conditions, the outcome did not surprise me. You know, I know the Packers have been playing well, but the Cowboys have been destroying everyone at home. I mean, by winning over 20 points a game at home. And so that outcome, regardless of the Cowboys' past, was very surprising to me. You know, not that the Packers played well, but that the Cowboys just got rolled. And it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. You have to think that Jarrah is going to fire somebody when that comes. And, then the other thing was, is, you know, obviously Jordan Love played at a really high level. You saw some really high level quarterback play from him, you know, not just throws, but vision, extending plays and keeping his head up. I mean, you know, throwing to spots to give guys an opportunity to make plays. And then, you know, Jared Goff stepping up his game. I mean, he was in command last night. They threw the ball in situations where I don't know if we could ever dream of the Titans throwing the ball the last few years, you know, to put that game away. And then the last thing with that game is this, is as I was watching that game goes on, I think I said five times, field goals get you beat, field goals get you beat. And, you know, the red zone is what determined that football game, and the Lions took care of it on both ends. And that's why they won the football game. But it's a great game. It was good to have one good one in the mix. And that was a fantastic game. And I you know, is for a Lions fan, and I know, Joe, you're not one because you've disavowed the team. But, you know, winning a game like that to me is so much more satisfying than winning it. I mean, like, I know it's satisfying for the Packers to win a blowout, but for a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 32 years, to be battle tested and to hold on to win a football game, you know, and not blow it, that's satisfying.
So the Cowboys situation could impact potentially maybe Belichick, maybe Mike Vrabel. Yeah. Oh, by the way, since we've talked to you last, Corey, Mike Vrabel's been fired. Do you have any thoughts on that before we move into who may go where? Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel being fired?
Well, you know, last Monday I probably wasn't as sharp on it as I should have been because I thought it was possible, but you know, I wasn't like, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. And I think back on it now, and I feel probably a little foolish. I don't know, but you know, I guess vision. You know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, whatever. I think we've learned a lot. You know, your and Diana's report was great because it, you know, opened some of the stuff that kind of led to it. And I think we just kind of learned more about the organization. But, you know, I probably said this Monday morning last week, you know, when you lose, you get fired. I mean, it's no different. It's been shocking to see just how far the national media has come to Vrabel's defense in this. Acting like not only that he's won multiple Super Bowls, but that he's even been there. And I'm not saying he's not a good coach. He is a good coach. But good coaches get fired all the time. I mean, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl and got canned. They're already talking about Nick Sirianni a year after he went to the Super Bowl, And this season's not even over yet. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, from that aspect, it should not surprise us. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Titans move forward with that.
So to that point, Corey, who are some of the candidates that intrigue you the most as they embark on this coaching search?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm not going to say I'm an expert on any of them. All right. You know, they're not long time assistants. They're assistants, and they all have something in common except for Dan Quinn. And that's, they're all pretty young. I mean, they're all pretty young. But that kind of goes in line, I think, with their thinking of what they want as an organization and how they're going to work, you know, moving forward. You know, they need, you know, a little more forward thinking at a younger age to change. You know, in TV, we don't advertise to people over 50 because you can't change their minds. You can't change the way they do things. So hiring somebody who's 35 or 40 or 42 makes a lot of sense. Obviously Bobby Slowick makes a ton of sense with his ties to Rand Carthon, and he's done an amazing job this year. You know, not just with CJ Stroud, but, you know, that offensive line has been a turnstile this year for the Texans, yet they have managed to work through it. And it hasn't been just CJ Stroud. You know, people don't realize Devin Singletary has just kind of been a journeyman. And he's had a great year for them behind that offensive line that's rotated players in and out. So they've been able to run the football effectively, and they didn't give up a single sack against that Jim Schwartz Browns defense. You know, so I think there's a lot that's impressive here. You know, there's a lot of people who think a lot of Brian Callahan, you know, so that's obvious. I think Ben Johnson's going to have too many suitors and probably be – so I think somebody like Washington will pay a lot of money for him. It's just a matter of what he thinks is the right fit. So, I mean, and look, I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about Mike McDonald. I know his defenses are great. But you know, defenses are great in Baltimore every year. So maybe my vision on that is skewed. I don't think it has to be an offensive coach. I know a lot of people do. I think I need to know what your offensive philosophy is and who you're going to get to execute it. I think that would be important, but I agree that I would lean towards an offensive guy.
Yeah, and then just the Levis aspect of it, just in terms of him. Obviously, Corey, you know, he has a switch. It's unfortunate. You never want to see that with a young quarterback. Year one, the coach gets fired, especially when it's not like it was really expected until very recently, right? I said last week – and maybe I'm overplaying this, but Will Levis does know the West, you know, the new West Coast, the Shanahan offense. I mean, he played in two versions of it at Kentucky. Would that be – I'm with you. I don't think it has to be, but I would lean that way. But what about just that particular system perhaps helping him, you know, because he has some familiarity with it?
Well, not only that, you could hire his old offensive coordinator, right? You could bring him in to run it. So that would be even a shorter learning curve for him as well. And also, you're not falling into this trap where, well, this year you fired the offensive coordinator, but you give the head coach another year, and then next year you fire the head coach, and you bring in a new coach and a new coordinator. So you've got a third coordinator in 3 years. You know, you hope you get all this right in 1 year. So for the next 3 years, he's got the same setup. And obviously, if it's an offense he's run before – And let's be realistic, and Jared brought this up on our show last night. All these guys from that Shanahan McVay tree, I mean, they're all largely successful. I mean, and they're all running the same thing. So why wouldn't you want to, you know, pull from that tree and kind of go in that direction? Because that seems to be where the league is headed.
All right, Corey, last thing for you. Who you got today? Steelers and Bills playing in Hoth out there up there in Buffalo. And then the Eagles on the road with no A.J. Brown taking on Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Well, listen, when you've got Mason Rudolph and a T.J. Watt-less defense, that's like the Ewoks fighting at Walkers. And so I'm gonna go with the Bills in that one, where they were responsible enough not to play in a snowstorm where it was like 2 degrees. So I thank the people of Buffalo for putting the game off a day. And then the night game, you know, it should be the Eagles, right? Hands down. But they sound like they're kind of a mess. Now, is A.J. Brown – I always say you're not better by getting rid of good players, and A.J. Brown's not going to play tonight. But obviously, there's something going on there. And does him not being in the game help them out tonight? I don't know. It's hard to imagine. But I don't know all of what's going on there that's made them such an incredible mess. You know, to go from – I mean, what were they 11-0?
They were, I think,
10-1.
Yeah.
10-1. Yeah. And now they're 11-5. I mean, they're almost the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, yeah. So it should be interesting. It's, you know, this is one where, you know, maybe the Eagles all get it right and, you know, it's not a great game. On talent, I have to take the Eagles in this one, but I think I'd be afraid to touch it with a bet.
Caleb Williams going to be drafted by the Bears, or is he going to boycott the draft? What's going on here?
I mean, what does Caleb Williams think? Like, that the Bears can't develop quarterbacks? I mean, come on.
Wait. That was fake, though, right? That was a fake report, right?
I think it was fake.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
But it's insane how many people circulated it. God. What a world.
Yeah, you know, you really got to be careful with it. I mean, I got by a fake Ian Rappaport like 10 years ago with it had two R's in it. So it was well done. But, you know, I really try to be careful of all that stuff. You know, I always go
although
back
I will
to
say
it, you know,
I don't think he's officially declared for the draft, which I think he's got to do by today.
Well, you know, I will continue to say the same thing over and over again. You know, if you got a quarterback that you think is okay and fine, and he's coming along and he can be the guy for us, that's not the same as a guy you believe is a generational talent. All right, if Justin Fields can win games in the NFL, he's won games in the NFL, he's had big games in the NFL, he's had stink bombs in the NFL, but when you've got a guy who you know, I mean, look at C.J. Stroud, all right? You think Caleb Williams is at least C.J. Stroud, all right? You have to take him. This is not a hard decision unless you think that Caleb Williams is fraudulent in some way. And watching that guy the last couple of years, the arm talent is stupid good. Stupid good. And I know people got on him for crying. I do not care that he cried. I care that he cares, okay? He wants to win, and that's what's important to me. He's got crazy arm talent. It should not be a hard decision to draft Caleb Williams first overall.
Corey, stay safe in the snow. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy your victories now, fellas, because next year it's Caleb Williams all the way. We'll be watching Caleb Williams play Will Levis in the Super Bowl at the new Nissan Stadium.
Oh, what a place, what a time that will be. Thank you, Corey.
It'll be a 52-51 shootout because that's what the Bears and Titans are known for.
Yes, offense galore. Very much look forward to it.
Can't wait.
Corey Curtis with News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say, get our thoughts on Wild Card Weekend, what we've seen to this point. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.